Welcome to The Sound of Economics, a podcast from Bruegel, the Brussels-based economic policy think tank. I'm Giuseppe Porcaro, and joining me for this episode is our senior fellow André Sapir and Uri Dadush, non-resident scholar here at Bruegel, joining on the phone from Washington, D.C. They're going to discuss President Trump's announcement to apply a 25% tariff on all steel and a 10% tariff on all aluminium imports into the United States. I leave the floor to André to take off the conversation.
Thank you, Giuseppe. Uri, let me ask you, what is your view on the way we should look at the decision by President Trump compared to what had happened the same month, March, back in 2002? When President Bush also imposed tariff measures against imports of steel, and tariff measures that at that time were of 30%. So when you look at the measure, it doesn't sound very, very different. And at that time, the EU was obviously not very happy, but did follow with procedures going to the WTO, and eventually it was resolved in a manner after a year and a half when the US withdrew the measure. It was not a trade war, it was a clash in the steel sector. Do you think that's true this time as well, or you have a different view, it's a different context?
No, I think it's a very different context. You have a clearly protectionist administration. In 2002, Bush and Robert Zoellick are free traders. Today, the whole trade team of Mr. Trump is protectionist. And the other difference is that they are invoking the national security exception for the safeguard rather than a market emergency exemption, which was the case of Bush. And the national security exemption is widely seen as something that could sink the WTO dispute settlement process. It has never been tested, and many experts consider it as self-judging. In other words, that other members do not have the right, or the disputes panel does not have the right to even question the use of the national security exemption. That's up to the countries.
Uri, let me just jump here. Just to make clear, in a sense, what happened back in 2002, and I fully agree with you that the context is different, because indeed, as you said, Mr. Trump has made many protectionist pronouncements, and his trade team as well, compared to what had happened with Bush. And you also indicated that the legal basis for the measure that was taken back in 2002 and this time is different. This time, indeed, national security. But I think we have to tell our listeners that the WTO does allow for an Article 21 with a national security exemption. So under certain conditions, countries can say that, well, they need to restrict their import in order to meet their national security objectives. But what you say, and I agree with that, is that this is extremely rarely done, and therefore we do not have much jurisprudence about the way the WTO will handle the case if and when the EU and other countries do decide to bring this case to the WTO for litigation. But it's not because it's national security that it's per se WTO illegal. It's potentially the way it is being applied, this rationale, which is a rationale present at WTO, the way that the administration has applied it, that could create problems. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely, especially since there is universal recognition that the invocation of national security in this case is a pretext. there is no plausible national security case for restricting steel imports from allies.
So the reason is different, the legal basis is different. You say, and I tend to agree with you, that it's most reasonably it's a pretext. Now, does that mean that we, the EU, should behave differently? So the reasoning is different on the US side. The US administration is different from 2002. But then now the ball is in our camp, in the EU's camp. And back in 2002, we did bring a case along with other countries that were affected by the Bush measures on steel. We did bring a case to the WTO. And eventually, in November 2003, the WTO did say that, yes, the US measures were in violation of its commitments and gave the green light to the EU and to other countries to take measures in retaliation. The process did work. The procedure, the WTO procedure, did work. Now, should we behave in the same manner this time? Why should we not simply say, well, you know, the WTO worked well back in 2002. We do not believe that the current measures are really legal. Well, let's go to the WTO next week or in 2 weeks when the measures will actually be implemented, along with other countries, and we will get a decision by November of next year, and presumably we will get the green light and we will take retaliation then. Do you think that's the way we should do, or do you think we should behave differently this time?
No, I think the EU should behave differently, and that's for at least two reasons. Number one, there is no certainty whatsoever that that the dispute settlement will pronounce on this issue. It may even decide not to take up the issue on the grounds that it is not competent, that is, and if it does take up the issue and it rules against the United States and the current administration is still in power, then there is a reasonable expectation that the United States would just refute the ruling and possibly leave the WTO. This is all extremely uncertain, okay? So there is a much greater element of uncertainty. This is not business as usual. As you know, the US is disputing the validity of procedures in WTO rulings on much broader grounds, which we can't go into now, and is refusing to replace the judges on the appellate body as they retire or leave. There is even a possibility that by the time this dispute can be heard, there will be no viable appellate body. So that's the first thing. And the second reason the EU should behave differently in this case is that the administration is so clearly set on a protectionist course that there has to be a political challenge to that course, and it's important to do it now, because this is when the debate is the most alive in the United States. It's a very fierce debate for and against protection. There are congressional midterm elections coming up, and there is no doubt where this administration is going in the medium term. This is very different from Bush and Zelig, who were free traders. And so it's important that the European Union exercise its deterrent power, and it does so now. And the same applies to other American trading partners that are being hurt by this measure.
Okay, that's a very clear statement. Let me disagree with your statement, with your view. But I think it's certainly a powerful view, and I can understand. And I think many people, probably both in the U.S. and in the EU, would share your view. Let me argue against that view nonetheless, against the EU adopting a different stance to the one that it did do in 2002, that is to take retaliation measures right now, without waiting for the green light from the WTO. On the first issue that you raised, you know, what is the view of Mr. Trump on the appellate body, and what would the appellate body do anyway? I think we should absolutely avoid to fall in the trap that President Trump is putting for us. There is no doubt, as you said, that Mr. Trump has very low regard on WTO rules, has very low regard on the appellate body, and would love nothing more, as he said last week, than a trade war. And a trade war with, you know, bilateral trade war with each of the partners of the US, in particular with partners from the US, which, like the EU, have a trade surplus with the United States. So I think there's no doubt about that. But we, the EU, we have said on many occasions, at the highest level, not just the Trade Commissioner, not just the President of the Commission or the President of the European Council, the heads of states of government of the European Union have stated on several occasions that the multilateral system is of highest importance for the EU. And I think that we should not fall in this trap that to say that, well, you know, he has intentions that are damaging intentions, and based on his intentions and on the measures that he took yesterday, that may actually prove to be either compatible or not compatible with the WTO, we take retaliatory measures that would not be compatible with the WTO process, and we would sort of disregard the appellate body and the dispute settlement mechanisms. That is, we would say to the US, look, we don't care also about the dispute settlement, and we would basically invite him to implement what he would do. Immediately would say, well, here, the champions of multilateralism, they themselves don't believe in the system, so why should I? And then, obviously, we would be in major problems. So I think we have to look at what is our key objective, and our key objective is that we want the multilateral system to survive President Trump. Now, sure, he's intended to destroy it, but I think that's why it's important for us to discuss with other nations of the world and to keep cool here, to keep more calm, and not to take the bite and to immediately respond with another bite, but just say, let's take this as a trade dispute in steel. And yes, we know who Mr. Trump is, and we know what is perhaps his ulterior motive, but let's not give him an excuse for implementing systemic decisions on the destruction of the WTO system that we, the Europeans, we would be the first victim of.
Thanks a lot, André, and thanks a lot, Uri. That brings us to the end of this episode, and we've been very glad to have you all with us for The Sound of Economics. If you log onto our website, www.bruegel.org, you will find our blogs on the issue, as well as more of Bruegel's works, including blogs and papers written by our scholars, as well as the previous installments of this podcast. I hope you'll join us next time for The Sound of Economics. Until next time, bye.